And the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this meeting this morning consists just of four words that you find in the middle of verse number 13 of Genesis chapter 16. And they are these words, "Thou God seest me, thou God seest me." Now in this chapter before us, we learn of a time whenever Abraham and Sarah, they take a spiritual detour on their journey of faith. And the result of that detour was one of trouble and indeed heartbreak within their home. You see, God had given Abraham a promise that he and Sarah would have a child. However, Sarah was not prepared to wait upon the Lord for the fulfillment of this great promise. And thus she tells Abraham to take her maid Hagar and to have children by her. And this is what Abraham does, and the result is that Hagar is with child through Abraham. And whenever this happens, we see how Hagar despises Sarah, and this in turn causes Sarah to treat Hagar harshly. And the outcome is that the servant girl Hagar, who is with child, she leaves home, and in doing so, she thinks she can run away from the whole situation at that particular time. But if you look at verse 7 and verse 9 of the chapter, you see that God intervenes. God is watching over the whole situation, and he speaks to Hagar in the wilderness. Look at verse 7 and verse 9 of the chapter. It says, "And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur." Verse 9, "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands." You notice there in verse number 9 how the Lord tells her to return home to her mistress Sarah. And in returning to her mistress, the Lord also tells how the child that was to be born was to be called Ishmael. Look at what the Lord says further in verse 11 of the chapter. He says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction." What a statement that is there at the end of verse 11. The Lord hath heard thine affliction. And you'll see here from the chapter how Hagar submits to the Lord's will for her life at this time. And she returns to Abraham and Sarah. But just before her return, she makes a tremendous statement as a result of the Lord's dealings with her and what the Lord said to her. And you have that statement recorded in verse 13, where our text is to be found. It says of Hagar, "And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?" Note in particular, dear people, this morning, those words of our text, "Thou God seest me." And my, this was the title that Hagar gave here to the Lord, who found her in the wilderness, who spoke to her in the wilderness, who instructed her in the wilderness what she was to do at that particular time. And as a result of that, as she thinks about the Lord and the Lord's dealings with her in grace at that particular occasion, she says, "Thou God seest me." And my, just as these words tell how the Lord saw Hagar many, many years ago, so they remind all who are saved that God sees them in this life, in this world, as well. People before us, in these few words of this little text this morning, you see the great truth. One of the greatest truths that you will find in all of the riches of God's Word, and that truth is the great doctrine of the omniscience of God. What do we mean by that doctrine? We really mean the simple fact that God sees all things and God knows all things. And it's for that reason I want us then to consider these words today. Thou God seest me. There are three things in particular I want you to notice here. First of all, these words, "Thou God seest me," they remind us that God sees us all in a general way. And this fact that God sees us in a general way can be proved from the very nature of God. You think about God this morning. God is one who is almighty. That is how the Bible describes God as almighty. Therefore, He is God, and as He is God Almighty, He must see us. For if He did not see us, He would not be God Almighty. The Bible speaks of the Lord and says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." Believer in Christ, always remember this, that God sees you because He is the Almighty God. He is all-powerful. But then it must also be said that God sees us because God is to be found everywhere. You see, the Lord is omnipresent. He is an infinite spirit, and He is present in all places at all times. And if God is everywhere, this means that nothing can hinder Him from seeing all that is done to us in every part of the universe. Nothing is hidden from the eye of Almighty God. You remember what Paul said of the Lord as he preached at Mars Hill? He spoke of God and he says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." And by those words, he was saying that God was present with him in this life. Turn in your Bible, please, over to Psalm 139. And I want you to see what David says here in particular in verses 7, 8, and 9, and 10 of this lovely old psalm that really teach us this great truth that we're looking at today, that God sees all things and knows all things. And look at what David says in verse 7 of Psalm 139. He says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up unto heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." What is David saying to us there? There David is telling us how he could not escape the presence of God wherever he was in this life. God's eye was to be upon him. And dear people, this morning, if God is to be found everywhere, then the outcome is that He sees us wherever we are as His people. The hymn writer says, "Within thy circling power I stand. On every side I find thy hand. Awake, asleep, at home abroad, I am surrounded still with God." Then we can say further this morning, it must also be stressed that God sees us because God is a God of activity in all the world around us. Our God is one who never slumbers. Our God is one who never sleeps. Think of how the psalmist again describes the Lord in Psalm 121, verse 4. He says, "Behold, he that keepeth of Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Look all around today at the great works of creation, and there you see the activity of God. It is God who sends the wind and the rain and the frost and the snow. It is God who causes the blades of grass in the field to grow. It is God who causes the buds on the trees to swell. It is God who causes the blossoms to flourish into summer flowers. It is God who causes the fruits to ripen at harvest time. Child of God, every breath you take, every pulse that your heart beats is because of the very activity of God around you and in your life. Job chapter 12, verse 10. Job there, the book of Job is speaking of God. And this is what it says of God and man. It says, "In whose hands, in the hands of God, is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind." And my, if it were not for God's activity in your life and my life and in our bodies, you and I could not take one step. You and I could not take one breath. My, our God is working everywhere. His hands are active. The Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech." Therefore, God is one who must see us. God is one who must know all our actions and all that concerns us in life. But then it can also be said that God is one who sees us because of his foreknowledge. God is a God of foreknowledge. My, our God is one who sees and he knows about a thing before it happens. And you have a wonderful example of this in Genesis chapter 15, the chapter just before our Bible reading this morning. Turn back in your page of your Bible there to Genesis 15. And look with me in particular at verses 13 and 14 of that chapter. And there you see how the Lord warned Abram of the bondage of the Israelites down in Egypt long before it happened, long before it occurred, because God knew all about it. He's a God of foreknowledge. Look at Genesis 15, verses 13 and 14. The Lord is speaking. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. What was God talking about there to Abraham? He was warning him. He was telling him the time when Israel would be in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. God knew all about it even before it came to pass. You see, nothing is hidden from God. The psalmist speaks of God and says, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday. Brethren and sisters in Christ, remember this today. God sees what is past. He knows the past. He sees what is future. God knows all that is going to happen in this world and future days. There's nothing hidden from God. And that being the case, he's also the God of the present. He's God who sees you and I in our present state, in our present need, and in our present circumstances. Yes, these words here of Hagar and our text, they remind you and I that God sees each one of us in a general way. Thou, God, seest me. Let that truth dwell in your heart today, dear believer. Thou, God, seest me. Not only does he see us in a general way, but as we proceed further this morning, I want to say in the second place that these words, thou God seest me, they remind us that God sees each one of us in a very particular way. Now, what do we mean by a very particular way? Well, that very particular way is emphasized by the use of the word me in our text. You look again at what Hagar says here. She says, thou God seest me. And that word me, just two letters, it means someone in particular. And the meaning here is, child of God, realize this, that God sees you as an individual. As he looks upon you in this gathering this morning, he sees you just as if there was no one else than the rest of the whole world. In other words, the infinite mind of Almighty God is upon you just as if no one else existed. That's the meaning here behind this thought, thou God seest me. And we have this wonderfully illustrated for us in Mark's Gospel. Turn over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 5. Here you read of the Lord Jesus Christ surrounded by a great crowd that day in his public ministry. But there was a woman who came to him that day in great need with the issue of blood. And she touched the very hem of the garment of Christ for healing. And amidst all the rustle and the bustle of the crowd that was pressing in upon the Lord that day, my Christ knew all about this particular lady, this individual lady in her time of great need in the midst of the crowd that day. Look at Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5 and the verse number 30. She touched the hem of his garment. And look at what it says in verse number 30 of Mark chapter 5. It says, and Jesus immediately, nothing went unnoticed to Christ, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? It was a great crowd that day. People were pressing in upon Christ. That Christ knew about this particular lady who came in her great time of need. And she touched the hem of his garment. He knew her as an individual. He saw her as a particular individual in great need at that time. And my, just as Christ knew about that woman in the crowd And so God sees you, child of God, as an individual in this world. Believer, he sees you as a particular individual in this world. You are not hidden from his gaze. Despite all the masses and all the crowds of humanity in the world around us today, God sees you as a particular individual. The eye of Almighty God, the infinite eye of God, dear believer, is upon you amongst all the crowds of humanity. Maybe you think in the crowds of humanity and all that is going on around you that you're hidden from God. Oh, don't let that thought enter into your heart for one moment. The eye of God is upon you as an individual. But then also in seeing his people in a particular way, it must also be stressed that God sees his people entirely. He does not just see your actions and your countenance and your posture. No, he sees the very thoughts of our heart, the very deepest recess of our soul. Someone has once said, God has a window in every human heart through which he can look, and God can look right into our hearts. Remember what Samuel said at the anointing and the choosing of David, the future king of Israel, in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. O believer in Christ, God sees your every thought. He knows the very thoughts of your heart this very moment. He sees your every imagination. He sees every conception in your mind. He sees right into the very deepest recesses of your heart and soul and being. Now the hymn writer says, my thoughts scarce struggling into birth, great God, are known unto thee. Even our very thoughts when they're coming into our hearts and minds are known by God. Make no mistake this morning, dear believer, God sees you as an individual, but he sees you entirely. He sees you absolutely. Not only that, but we can also say in seeing his people in a particular way, it can also be said that God sees them constantly. Yes, there's people and they watch us in life and they see us maybe part of the time, maybe one day or part of a day or some part of the week or whatever, but not at other times. But my, this is not so with God. Whatever your lot is, wherever you are, God sees you, even in the very darkest seasons of your life, even in the deepest trials of life that you may find yourself in, God sees you constantly. God sees you continually. This was a time of great trial for this lady Hagar, time of great need. But my God saw her in the wilderness, in a time of great need, and in a time of great desperation. And dear believer in Christ, in your time of trouble, whatever it is, in your time of trial, in your time of difficulty, God's eye is upon you. God's eye is watching over you. God sees you. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Turn in your Bible, please, over to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 5. And look with me, please, at verse number 21. What a verse this is to encourage us with this great thought that the Lord's eye is upon us in all our times of great need. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21, it says, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Dear believer, your ways this morning, whatever those ways are, others may not know about them, but they are before the Lord. When you're in a time of great trouble and a great trial, and maybe you feel that others do not see, others do not understand, others do not know, God knows, God sees, God understands, God's eye is upon you. Believer in Christ, never lose sight of this great truth. Always remember that God sees you. Just as he saw Hagar of old, so he sees you today, dear believer. Whatever your need is, whatever your case is, whatever your circumstance is today, whatever it will be tomorrow, whatever it will be this week, this month, this year, whatever, thou God sayest, seest me, said Hagar. Keep that truth before your dear believer in Christ,
in the journey of life. He sees us in a general way. He sees us in a particular way. But finally this morning, what then is the outcome? If you like, the repercussions of this great truth, what is the outcome in the life of God's people who know and realize this great truth that God sees all things and that God's eye is upon them? What's the outworking of it in our lives as people, as believers, day by day? Well, this fact here that God sees us surely should encourage us as believers to be prayerful, to seek God, to call upon His name. Believer in Christ, if God can see you, and He does see you, surely then He can hear you. He can hear your prayer. He can hear your call. He can hear your cry. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous." And then it goes on and it says this, "And His ears are open unto their prayers." What an encouragement here we have to pray. What an encouragement to pray daily at the throne of grace. What an encouragement to come and to gather with God's people in the public place of prayer and seek God, because He sees us, His ear is upon us and is open to our prayers, open to our cries. Dear believer in Christ, every time you pray, wherever that is, be it in private, be it in public, you remember this great truth, these great words of Hagar. "Thou, God, seest me." Yes, they encourage us to pray. But also this fact that God sees us surely should dispel all carefulness and worry in our lives as God's people. Believer in the Lord, when you're overcome with doubt or with anxiety or fear, please remember this, that God sees you. My, when you think that you're all alone and maybe none to help, please remember this, that God is watching you, and in seeing you, He will be with you. He will help you. He says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The hymn writer says, "He knows thy cares, thy tears, thy sighs. He shall lift up thy head." He is the lifter up of His people because He sees and knows our need. Turn with me over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. And look with me just at the end of this great chapter. The Lord here was speaking to His disciples, those whom He had saved, those whom He had redeemed, those whom He had called, and they were fearful. They were afraid of the future, of their needs, of their cares. And the Lord here, Jesus, seeks to dispel their fears and their cares by reminding them that the Lord knew all about them and that the Lord would take care of every particular need that concerned them at that particular time. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and the verse number 30. He says, "Wherefore of God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." Notice these words, "For your heavenly Father knoweth," the truth of our text, "your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." He says, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." Believer in Christ, brother and sister in the Lord, in the meeting this morning, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Whatever it is that's troubling you this morning, whatever that fear, that worry, that care, that concern, that anxiety is, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all things. It should encourage us to pray. It should dispel carefulness. But also this fact that God sees us surely should encourage us whenever we bear reproach for Christ. Maybe I'm speaking to a believer in the meeting. You've had to bear reproach from the tongue of the ungodly because of your stand for the Lord, because of your faithfulness to the Word of God and to the testimony of Christ. Others maybe have mocked you, they've laughed at you, they've ridiculed you, they've scorned you. Well, believer, do not despair. God sees you. And what's the promise of the Lord to His people who own His name? He says, "Them that honor me, I will honor." Honor the Lord. Put Him first, and no matter what others say or do, The Lord will vindicate your stand. He'll vindicate your testimony. He will use you for his honor and glory, and seeing you and knowing your need, he will honor your stand, your witness, your testimony from the Lord. Them that honor me, says the Lord, I will honor. Encourages us to pray. It dispels fearfulness and doubt. It encourages us to bear witness for the Lord despite the reproach of the ungodly. But also this great truth that God sees us also should restrain us from sin and from yielding to temptation when the devil would come to tempt us at the people of God. This was so in the life of Joseph. Turn with me in your Bible over to Genesis chapter number 39. And I want you to see here the outworking of this great truth in the life of Joseph. He was a young Christian man. He was a godly young man away from home, away from the father's house in the far country. He was down in Egypt in Potiphar's house. And the wife of Potiphar tempted him to commit adultery and to sin against the Lord. But I want you to see the effect of this great truth upon this young man, Joseph, that God's eye was upon him in dealing with this temptation. Look at verse number 9 of Genesis chapter 39. He says, "There is none greater in this house than I, neither hast he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife." Notice these words. "How then can I do this great wickedness," says Joseph, "and sin against the Lord?" He knew God's eye was upon him, and it had a sanctifying influence upon his life as a believer to turn away from sin and from temptation and the allurements of this world and the ungodly ways of the devil. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ, remember this in your life. When we are tempted by the devil, by the world, by all that is not of God, to go down a pathway that is wrong or go down a way that is not of God, remember this, dear believer, God's all-seeing eye is upon you. May it encourage you to do what's right, to follow the Lord, to say no to sin, not to yield to the temptations of the evil one and the wicked one, but to go on living for God and living for Christ, living for his honor and for his glory. What a truth this is. Thou, God, seest me. But finally this morning, let me also say in this great truth, there's a word of warning to you in the meeting this morning who are still not saved. By this very fact that God sees you, surely should encourage you to seek the Lord for your salvation. The very fact here that God sees you means that He knows all about your sin. The Bible says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." And God has a record of all your sin. And because of all your sin, you're going to be judged for your sin one day before Almighty God. Listen to the words of Christ as he speaks about this very matter in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 12, verse 36. He says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof on the day of judgment." God is a record of all your sins, every deed, every word, every action that has been spoken against the Lord. And friend, if your sins are not blotted out on the day of judgment, what's the doom of your sin? The doom is this, that you'll be cast into the lake of fire. The worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. We read of the great judgment day in Revelation chapter number 20 and the verse number 12. Listen to what the Word of God says. John says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works." All who are before the Lord on the day of judgment will be judged according to their works, because God has seen their works. He knows their works. He has a record of all their sins against Almighty God. What is the outcome for those that are found in their sin before God on the day of judgment? The very final verse of that chapter tells you, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting on sea, if this is the awful end that awaits you, should you die in your sin, leave this world in your sin, and come before Almighty God on the day of judgment in your sin, And there is only one way for you to escape that awful doom. That is for you now in time to repent of your sins, to confess your sins to Almighty God, and to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died upon the cross, who shed his blood as a ransom for sin, and call upon Christ by faith to save you. What does it say in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9? One of the greatest gospel verses in all of the Bible. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe on thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt, that speaks of certainty, that's the great assurance of salvation, thou shalt be saved. You take the sinner's place before God in time. Repent of your sin, confess your sins to Christ, call upon him to save you, to wash away your sins in his blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary. And the Lord will save you. The Lord of glory will save you and keep you unto life eternal. May God write his word upon our hearts and upon our souls today. Thou God, seest me. We're going